Recalibration, a Jupiter Ascending fanfic by Cloud Lake. Chapter 2, The Courthouse. Does this whole planet consist of longer and longer lines? Jupiter laments as she and Kane stand in their third, multiple-hour-consuming queue. You'd think they'd want to speed people through.
Speed isn't as profitable. Fewer lodgings, fewer meals, fewer I survived the lines at the Aura's courthouse souvenirs. This planet defines red tape. Do you need something to eat while we wait, Your Majesty? Kane offers.
I'll consider the planet uncivilized if they don't have coffee. Jupiter pouts half-heartedly.
Coffee is one of the few things your world does better than anywhere else. Don't expect much. Maybe I could get to Earth and back before your number's called.
His wry humor cheers her, and she takes the torment of waiting better after that. He does find something, but it's most assuredly not coffee. You really like this?
She wrinkles her nose at the steaming purple frothy drink.
If Your Majesty isn't pleased with your drink, perhaps you'd like to find your own?
He gestures to the myriad of stalls set up along the lines. All of the signs are in a different language. She smiles and shakes her head.
Didn't think so. Though there's a competition each week here to find the oddest flavor that can be sold to a customer. Your Majesty may have just gotten the winner with passion fruit, avocado, ginseng, cocoa, chai. It's considered quite the honor.
That causes her a fit of giggles into her dreadful drink, and she almost ends up spitting it out.
Recovering from her embarrassment.
You're in rare form today. What mellowed you?
Is it that you can teach me something new? There's so much for me to learn, and you grew up with all of this.
He fidgets a bit. Stinger was right. Waiting here with you is easy, like it was in the Chicago Tower.
When I was pointing a gun at you,
her quip earns her a rare grin.
No, that Your Majesty relies on me simply for companionship instead of expecting some service.
Quietly, she sips her pseudo-coffee and considers his words.
Did he just say things were back to normal?
When they reach the front of the line, the teller closes his stall and goes on a long break. Waiting for him to return will be more expedient than getting into another line. But the grumbling grows loud behind them, and Kane is on alert and much less talkative.
Finally, the teller returns, but he's in a nasty snit.
No, your name is not on this court's list. Can't you read? It says interplanetary disputes. You want planetary disputes. Now stop wasting our time.
The Matriarch.
Fuming at her treatment, Jupiter elbows her way through the throngs in the courthouse. All she wants to do is get back to the ship. Kane maintains a protective distance, giving her room to vent. A smartly dressed Splice in rococo attire and powdered wig steps in front of her, and Kane is instantly at her side. Bowing gracefully, the stranger explains himself.
Forgive my intrusion, Your Majesty. Her Grace Chui Risa, the Matriarch of the Cordun, Valis, Natu, and Freeze Galaxies, would have an audience with you.
Jupiter glances at Kane for his take on this, and he tries to motion to her to make her own decision.
Sure. What time would Her Grace like to meet?
Jupiter tries not to mess this up.
Her Grace awaits you at this very moment. She knows Your Majesty has much ahead and does not wish to detain you for long.
The servant ushers them into a levitating carriage.
Danchu, the Palace of Chuli. A mile away, Jupiter first spots the expensive structure that reminds her of Versailles, but a much more grand scale. Sculpted gardens, water fountains, hedgerow mazes, gazebos, a space dock, sculptures, and robotic servants fill the ground. Kane and the servant watch her astonishment with amusement. The carriage transforms around them to an open hovering platform, and they are flown quickly through the enormous arch of the palace gate and entrance. Kane offers his hand to help her down, but keeps a respectable space after that. It's so hard for her not to gawk, and the last thing she wants is to fall on her face here. When the servant opens the door to the matriarch's sitting room, they find her lounging on a settee, sipping a drink. Her red curls cascade over her bare shoulders, accenting her perfect pale skin and flowing midnight blue gown. She rises to greet them, holding out her hands to clasp Jupiter's, and her voice rings clear.
Do come in, Your Majesty. There's no need to stand on ceremony in my home. You may call me Chuli, especially since in one aspect you are my superior.
Servants quickly seem to spawn from nowhere. Would Your Majesty and companion like a drink?
After your trials at the courthouse, you must be parched.
Gratefully, they both accept, and Jupiter sits while Cain takes a watchful position behind her. As Jupiter sips on the sweet golden nectar, Chuli probes.
So what are your plans for this earth? I have my own reasons for asking and cannot reveal them until I know your intentions.
Jupiter tries to put grace in her reply, but it still comes off a little sour.
Then we may be at an impasse. Let me tell you what I know, and this may allay your fears.
After a nod from Jupiter, she continues.
I know you are Jupiter Jones from Earth, and hold its title, and that Titus wishes to wrestle it from you, especially after you jilted him at the altar. I am unsure if he intends to follow through on his declaration to stop harvesting, or just utilize the publicity for his own gain. He's obviously just gone through regeneration recently, and he's known to be a lying scamp. You are looked upon as an ignorant backwater waif who just happened upon a title that you have no idea what to do with, since you've been twittering away your time on your precious little planet.
Hearing Cain's guttural growl at the insult, she soothes.
Your companion need not be tense or take offense on your behalf. I was simply relaying the general public thought, so you're aware and can take steps if you wish. It does him as a splice credit to be so loyal to you. He's a fetching one and must be very pleasing in bed.
The blush that comment brings renders Jupiter speechless, and she stammers, I can't respond to that last statement. Cain pretends to examine the ceiling and clears his throat as he endures the embarrassment. Jupiter's reaction brings a hearty chuckle from Chuli. As her grace recovers, she apologizes and touches Jupiter's arm.
Forgive my intrusion, my laughter. It wasn't at your expense, but it was from your precious innocence. It's been millennia since I've seen a blush like that one. Such experiences are rare for me, you see. Thank you.
Chuli sighs with contentment and continues.
You will need someone to guide you and teach you decorum and proper procedure here. They will not look fondly upon a splice guiding you, especially him.
This gains her a raised eyebrow from both of them.
Yes, I'm aware of your reputation, Lieutenant.
Jupiter looks from Chuli to Cain, and his posture has changed ever so slightly, and his arms are crossed now, adding a touch of menace to his physical cues.
Chuli doesn't miss a beat. You're fond of him, so ask him of his past and get it in detail.
Your association with him could be a slight disadvantage or a major advantage, depending on how you play it. You'll need to decide if he's your consort, advisor, or protector. He knows he can't play the role of all three, and two will be difficult enough to juggle. Am I right, Lieutenant?
A grudging nod is all he relents. Cain's tension is practically electrifying the air, and it spreads to Jupiter.
Chuli, you know so much about us, but we know so little about you. We're at a severe disadvantage.
It is regrettable, but until I know your motive with the planet, I can't offer more. While you have one planet at stake, many are under my care.
Pinching the bridge of her nose, then turning to Cain for his thoughts, Jupiter gets another disapproving look from him.
Your Majesty, he's telling you with that delicious scowl that you can't look to him for approval. Dear, it makes you look weak. If you are unsure of me, please say so and I'll tell you who can vouch for me.
Jupiter sucks in a breath. Very well. I'd like to know if we can trust you, but I don't know what I'll believe after what I've been through.
I know just the solution. Please have the Lieutenant contact his fellow officer, Captain Apini.
Stinger answers Kane's calm.
Waiting to see someone. What's up?
Hearing the voice, Chuli pipes in.
Stinger, dear, it's been far too long.
Yes, it has, Your Grace. How'd they get to see you before I do?
I'll let you in after I get my answer from Her Majesty here. It's of vital import, but she's hesitant to answer.
Ah, yes, Your Majesty. Her Grace has my full confidence and trust. Tell her anything you need, and I await the pleasure of yours in her presence.
Jupiter sits up a little straighter and puts her hands demurely in her lap.
Well? I'm unsure. I only know I want to protect my people from harvest. I'll have to educate myself on the possibilities. That is what I needed to know.
Ringing a crystal bell beside her, she commands,
Please let him in.
Turning her attention back to Jupiter as Stinger enters,
I would like to offer an alliance. While it is currently of more benefit to you, your interests align with mine. In return, I have a proposal for you to consider.
She sees the interest and explains.
I will need to train my replacement. I do not plan to rejuvenate at the end of my cycle, and so you'll have time to consider this as we get to know each other. In this, you would have to care for worlds beyond your own and be a champion for the downtrodden. You see, I pushed your cane to test both of you. None of us chooses the station we're born to. We're all given life, human, and splice.
Stinger picks up from there. Cain, you know full well you should have been executed for murder. But it was Her Grace that was able to get our sentence reduced. She strives for equality with humanity for our kind.
Cain's demeanor softens, and he walks over to her.
Lieutenant, there is no need. Know that I believe that your killing of Drantab Abraxas was justified. The man was a dreadful, murderous beast.
Thank you, Your Grace, Cain murmurs.
That's why you were leery of me at first, isn't it? Jupiter fits the piece in the puzzle. He gives a tight curt,
yes.
Since he's right beside her, she slips her fingers into his. Stinger gives Chuli a knowing look, and she covers her grin with the back of her hand before commenting.
I see Your Majesty has chosen Lieutenant Weiss's role. But is he ready to change his role? This whole situation will require much adjustment from both of you. Most royalty don't offer a splice a choice, but you did. You would indeed make a good replacement for me. What do you say to our alliance?
Jupiter's eager grin answers for her, and Cain squeezes her hand to assure her that she's done well.
Excellent. It would be an honor to have Your Majesty as my personal guest.
Ringing her bell once more, Chuli summons her secretary.
Turan, see that Her Majesty here is appointed an official queue monitor. She shouldn't have to wait in line. We have much to discuss. Also ensure she and her retinue have attire suitable for court. They won't take her seriously if she appears in an Aegis uniform. And one more thing. Prepare quarters for Her Majesty and retinue. I'd like her to have the ivory suite so that she can have more privacy and a proper sitting room to receive guests. Have her belongings brought to the palace. Her following will expand, so I know you'll take that into account. Now, if Your Majesty will excuse me, I have to prepare for dinner. Would you care to accompany me, or do you need to rest?
Thank you, but I just need to collapse, Jupiter confesses.
Understandable, my dear. I will convey your regards to Titus Abraxas, then.
Chuli gives a mischievous wink. Seeing Jupiter's eyes go wide, she elaborates.
Dear, as royalty, you'll need to get used to meeting on good terms, even with those who may be your enemy. You'll gather tidbits you couldn't otherwise gain from your spies. I bid Your Majesty a good evening.